This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
It's time for a one-of-a-kind poker party. Poker Night in America is streaming live from Studio 52 in Las Vegas. Join us nightly at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as some of the biggest names in poker play in the ultimate house game. Watch on the Poker Night in America channel on YouTube and Twitch, or go to PokerNight.com. Poker Night in America is back and ready to party.
Well, welcome along to Betting Weekly Extra Time World Cup Edition. Get set for the knockout stages. Hopefully, your futures bets are still good. And I trust that you've come out of the group stages in profit. It's not been easy for bettors, but the Betting Weekly handicappers hopefully have kept you on the right track. We are going to talk you through the best bets across the games, featuring the winners and runners-up from groups A through to D with Nigel Seeley and Jack Wright. Nigel, back from Qatar, not for long, only briefly. Did you enjoy yourself out there, first trip?
Yeah, flying visit. I had to come back, put the bins out.
Along with the Welsh squad.
That's a bit near the mark. No, yeah, I had a great time. I spoke to you when I was out there last week. It's really, you know, you go out there and you're a little bit sort of worried and nervous of what you're going to expect, but it's a fantastic World Cup. I think it's brilliant, the organisation of it, and the tube system's brand new, you know, so everything's clean. The city where one of the grounds is, the city was only been, as it was, didn't exist 6 years ago. They built a whole city with shops and banks, and we can't get trains out when there's a few Leafs on the line. So, I mean, that shows you the difference between, and we criticize them about this kind of thing, but obviously that's a different matter. But joking aside, I mean, I think the football's been in first gear in the opening matches, but I suddenly think he's now hitting gear three, and I think he's got two more gears to go into.
Jack, we've had, what's the stat coming out of last night's games? 22 of the 40 games, 0-0 at halftime. And in 0-0 at halftime, you're looking at plus 170 through to plus 350, even bigger if there's a short price favourite. Is this a thing? Is it going to carry on into the knockout stages, do you think? What have you made of this general sort of, you know, a lot of unders? You know, only 14 of the 40 have been over 2.5 goals, both teams to score. Yes, only 15 of the 40. What have you made of that side from a betting angle so far?
Yeah, well, I expect it to continue. Nigel's normally your expert on the 0-0 at half-time as his trademark bet, but I think as generally you go into the tournament, tends to get a bit tighter as far as, you know, people, you know, you get in a scent of getting to the semi-finals, the finals, etc. And there's obviously so much more at stake, but I think it's probably understandable. And Nigel's obviously experienced it firsthand. You know, we've heard about the air-conditioned stadiums and that, but it's still hot. It's still, like, I think 27 degrees, even what they've recorded as far as that's concerned. So especially those early games that we had, they are going to produce that because the sides are going to, like, struggle and they're going to suffer. And, you know, early stages of the groups, again, you don't want to be writing your tournament off by going all gung-ho and getting turned over. And it seems that it's either a bit of all or nothing. We saw it with England's first game when we expected it to be tight and it ended up 6-2. It's either seemingly massively over or we're getting these games that are tight and cagey and you know, sides are good at defending. Unfortunately, as much as we love seeing the attack and play and seeing sides stick balls in the top corner from 25 yards, there's some good defenders on show as well and some decent athletes that can track runs and mean that they're nasty and they keep the ball out of the net.
Just one other thing on those unders, Dan, just before you move on to the game, just I think the other factor as well is that, especially in this last set of fixtures, we haven't had a World Cup, in my memory, where there's been so many competitive games in the last set of fixtures. So in that group, that third set is usually a dead rubber. You've usually got teams that are qualified and played them through minnows and won both of them, and teams are going home. there was probably only about two games, I think, in the whole of the last 16, the last group stages where there was absolutely nothing to play for those sides. And that's where you usually get goals. If you look back through the average of World Cup in the third match, the goals go up to about 2.7 a game. It's not the case here because every game means something now. And I think that's the gap in international football. People saying about, you know, some of these teams coming over there shouldn't be here. When we go to the next World Cup, it's going to be ridiculous. Well, this World Cup has proved it isn't really. I mean, you know, the Saudis have beaten Argentina, Australia beat Denmark yesterday, teams that we never expected. So I think that's a big, big reason why the goals haven't gone crazy. And as we go into this knockout stages, the gap between the ones at the top and the bottom isn't as big as we expect. But saying that, my picks might change that. But you know, in when you look at, like, say England plays France in a quarterfinal or Brazil plays Spain in the quarterfinal, they're going to be really, really tight. And you could see games where on the spreads over here in the UK, you could be getting, like, you know, I remember the African Nations Cup, where under 2.5 goals used to be like -350. I'm not saying it's going to be like -350, but you are going to get very, very, very heavy unders because there is a cigarette paper between the top eight nations in the world, regardless of the betting of Brazil are 2-1 to win it, and say Portugal are 14. There's nothing between the two of them really on the day. It'd be a free kick from Ronaldo or some set piece which will win it. So that's why I feel that the goals are really, really low, because the gap between the top and the bottom is decreasing, and the fact that the last group stage matches have all been very, very important matches.
21 winning favourites from 40 as well. The dogs have been coming left, right and centre. That's skewed with that Saudi win at +2,800, whatever it was. Obviously, if you're backing the dogs, you'd be in profit just blindly. Let's move on to the games, though, and get some selections over the course of the four matches that we're going to look at. Two on Saturday, two on Sunday. Saturday, 6 p.m. local, Netherlands versus USA here. Netherlands -109, USA +370. Draw +230. Over under mark is still 2.5 here, +132, -159. Overs unders respectively here. To me, Nigel, the Dutch don't look great. But then from a historical point of view, you think if you're getting -109 here, for the Dutch to beat the USA, you know, I'm tempted by that price. How do you see it?
Well, Bet Rivers are actually offering a bit of a carrot, but they're the best price for USA, I think, in the marketplace. You can get even money, or just under even money for the Netherlands. The problem is, I think it's a good matchup for the Americans. I think they'll go toe to toe with them, and I think they'll their energy and their pace. I think the one thing, I know they've got Virgil van Dijk, but I think I'm not convinced by the Dutch rear guard. The goalkeeper was playing in non-league football, wasn't he, in Holland, what, 3 years ago, something like that? Yeah, so I think they're gettable. I know there's a lot of American support and public belief that they can get something this game. I wouldn't be rushing to bet the Netherlands. I wouldn't be looking to take them on either at the price. It looks a game to me that just, it's a watching brief. I couldn't find an angle on the match betting market. There's millions of different props on the Bet Rivers website. I know Jack's got his eye on a couple of them. But for me, I think it looks about right. I can see market support for the Americans here on the Asian line +0.5. I think money will come for them. And I expect, if you want to bet the Netherlands, I reckon you'll probably get even money come kickoff time. Because remember, we're working for an American sports book, and I know it's a big week in it's a big massive week of sport in America. The college football's coming to the end of its season, and there's going to be some big games in there which are overshadowing the World Cup, but the handle on this cup is getting bigger and bigger, and I feel that you'll get, if people have got some money in their pocket from the college football, they'll bet the Americans. So if you want to bet the Dutch, I think you want to wait to the last minute, because I expect the Netherlands to start closer to evens.
Well, let me just tell you something here. I put a little running order together and get all the prices off the Rivers website. And I did that around about an hour and a bit ago. And Netherlands were -109, as I just quoted. Well, they're a little bit shorter now. We've got USA at +360. So even in the last hour, there's just a gentle shift towards USA here. And what I've noticed looking at one or two USA handicappers and looking at what they're talking about, the fact that money comes from the United States, from United States punters, bettors, in the run-up to the game, you're actually right. If you want to back the Dutch, wait until 10 minutes before kickoff or something like that. Be an interesting one.
As soon as the national anthem comes out, then you see patriotic support will be coming for the Americans, and the Dutch +110.
Yeah, you mentioned the prop, the bets. There's around about 700 markets. Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. If you can't find something to bet on here, you're in the wrong game. Jack, you have found something for us in this game, because we're going to look away from the match and the overs and unders and you've delved into corners, which I think is interesting because we've got a WhatsApp group and we've talked about corners right at the top of the World Cup, saying there's the corner counts are low here. But tell us your bet for this one.
Yeah, I'm definitely playing to the crowd here as well. I'm siding with the USA. I agree with everything that Nigel said up there as well. I was leaning towards them, but it was just a nagging doubt that I weren't going to sort of go for that. But this leapt off the screen at me as far as going through all those props that you're talking about. And when I'm a little bit sweet on a side, as I am with the USA here, and they offer a corner line which is low as it is, I'm all over it. What we need here is four or more USA corners. That odds, they've slightly come in a bit as well, because when I first saw it, it was minus 115. It's now minus 125, which I still think is a very good play. Four or more corners, they've hit easily this tournament already. And I think that Nigel was right. This is a good matchup for the US. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they're going to play. Blind on the left for the Dutch and... the guy on the right, who's on the right for the Dutch, plays for Inter Milan. This is good. Anyway, him plays very, very advanced. Very advanced. De Vries, yeah. Denzel De Vries. So on the right-hand side, you've got Serge Dest playing really well. He likes to play advanced, and I think there's going to be a lot of space in behind Blind. He's 33 now. He's not getting any younger. He's not getting any quicker, that's for sure. And over there with Weir as well, I think that's a good matchup to get in behind. And so with Dumfries on the other side, plays even more advanced, obviously being a bit younger and a bit more athletic. There's a really interesting dynamic with the States that they play Robinson as a left back, Pulisic obviously in front. So hopefully he'll be fit. I think the words coming out of him is that he will be. And McKenney just inside them, but they kind of rotate around. And sometimes you see Robinson even further advanced. I watched the Dutch against Qatar. And they got in behind, even Qatar got in behind several times, but they had nothing in the middle. They had no options. So they had to come back out and come back round again. The Americans won't have that. They will have the ability to either cut inside, cut the ball back, cross into the middle, depending on who's playing, which will lead to corners. You know, the Dutch got described as boring, didn't they, in a recent press conference. Then that made that press conference far from boring, because obviously Van Gaal definitely got on the defensive with that one. And so, which has been the accusation of what he's been doing in the matches. So Gakpo's been a highlight for them. Depay's not really fit. They've been sloppy in possession. I think the intensity and the pace that America play with will lead to them winning the ball high up the pitch and in good areas. This is the perfect matchup, I think, tactically, for the United States to actually cause a lot of problems to the Dutch. And this line is very, very gettable. United States conceded five corners against Ecuador, where they were awful. If they perform like that, then this is a big win for the States. And six against Senegal. They still conceded two against Qatar, where they struggled. And as I said, we had good performances from America, especially in the first half against Wales, where they won five corners. Should have beaten England, but for the width of the crossbar, seven corners they won in that. And I think that's a very similar matchup that we're going to get here against the Netherlands. And they won five against Iran, when obviously they were more focused on defence for the large parts of the second half, having got the job done. So over 3.5 here at minus 125 now is the play.
Good analysis like that one. Over 3.5 corners for United States, minus 125. Keep your eye on the latest price. Let's move on to Argentina, Australia, the later game on Saturday. Argentina were unlucky to lose to Saudi, Nigel. They were better against Mexico and they were good versus Poland. They are building momentum nicely here. They're very short here, minus 500. What's the angle against Australia, who are plus 1,700 to win this one?
Well, I think the Australians have got this, this is as far as it's come, and the country were ecstatic to get to the last 16. But I think lightning doesn't strike twice in terms of an upset when Argentina play in this competition. I thought Argentina are absolutely brilliant last night from what I saw. I didn't see the whole game, but I was watching flicking through the channels and watching bits of the highlights. But from what I saw, they dominant. Look at the stats as well. They could have won by a lot more. Messi obviously missed a penalty, the amount of chances they created. The only disappointment for me, and I think for Jack as well, is we both bet Martinez to be the top goal scorer, and he missed a clear one-on-one, and he missed in the first set of fixtures. He was he had chances to score and kept them running offside. So he's probably been the real disappointment this World Cup for me, Martinez. But Messi, he's lost a bit of his pace. He's lost a bit of you know, his aura about him, I suppose, that was the Messi 10 years ago. But he's still just everything pivotal in everything that they do, Argentina. And he's growing with confidence. And I can see it lifting it. I can see his body language when he gets the ball, he wants to take people on. And I think this Australia side, they must be absolutely dead on their feet. I mean, they must be exhausted. They go 1-0 up against the French and then defend for the whole of the remaining 80 minutes. And the French just pulverise them with 4 goals. Then they go against Tunisia, where they're back. They give away all the possession and just defend for their lives. Blocks, kicks, clearances, corners, everything. Just the gritty kind of Australian temperament that we're not going to get beat and ruggedness, and they get the 1-0 win. And then they go and play Denmark and do exactly the same thing. I know Denmark were poor, really poor, being the worst take of this World Cup for me. But they were backs to the wall again, defending, ditching tackles. But they must be exhausted. So coming into this game now, after sort of those heroic defensive performances, the last person you want to see if you're from Australia is Lionel Messi running at you. And I just feel that they're just going to run out of legs. I just feel that it's going to take a lot out of you. You're very limited to get yourself match ready and fit for 72 hours or so. I think it's going to be a tall order for this Australian side. I think they were running on empty in that game against Denmark in the last 20 minutes, and I think it's an absolute breeze for Argentina here. I can see Argentina being 2 or 3 goals up very comfortably and then resting everybody. And I think that's the key now for this World Cup. I believe that if you get an easy group and you can afford the luxury of resting your key players, there's going to be games where they're going to be tight and it's going to be 0-0 and 1-0 and they're going to go to extra time penalties. If you're playing the likes of Australia and you're 3-0 up with half an hour to go and you can take your best player off Messi and just rest him for the next game at his age, what a luxury position that is to be in. And that's what I think is going to happen. I think Argentina win here. And the bet for me is -1.75 on the Asian handicap, which is 1.75. So basically half of your bet is Argentina -1.5 goals. If they win by 2, you collect half. And the other part of your bet is -2. So if it's 2, it's a push. So if Argentina win by 3 goals, we win. The only way we can lose all our bet is if Argentina win by exactly 1 goal, or they draw, or they lose the game. So, I think that the key for the Argentina would say, listen, let's put this game to bed. Let's show our class, show our extra fitness. They're going to be absolutely on their legs and just kick the ball, run them into the ground, score 2 goals, rest everybody up. And you've seen in Argentina's last 2 games, 2-0 wins against Poland, 2-0 win against Mexico, and a 2-0 win here against, without doubt, the worst of the 3 opposition, despite them being in the last 16, will get some cash, and I think that's the way to go. Argentina -1.75.
Good stuff, Jack. Just very briefly on Argentina, the draw potentially has opened up for them. They've drifted out considerably after that Saudi defeat, but they're +540 on the outrights at the moment, and the draw has been very kind. Obviously, they're still probably going to be in the same half as Brazil, but a lot of people have bet Argentina, haven't they? Just briefly, your thoughts on Argentina.
Yeah, I'm one of them, so hopefully so. Win this, I think they get the winner of Netherlands, USA. So it has certainly got them an incentive. And again, Nigel's right, Messi is the man. And the good thing is they've kind of built that side around him and everyone's bought into the fact that he's the guy that they work hard for. So they've got the likes of Rodrigo de Paul firing into tackles and doing his legwork, doing his... you watch him and he strolls around the pitch looking for space and gets it. He's obviously still one of the most dangerous players in the world when he finds it. So absolutely. And Australia, they've kind of won their World Cup, haven't they? They've got out of a group which everyone expects them to finish bottom of. National celebrations at 3 a.m. in the morning, I think, when that game ended in Australia. They'll get to grace the pitch with Messi and be part of his hopefully victorious World Cup.
Just one thing on the outright market. I just want to just mention, Dan, before we go on. I mean, Argentina, obviously, my pick as well. And over here in the UK, they're a lot bigger than that 5.4. Bet Rivers are quite low on their odds at 5.4. I feel that this market is wrong. I just can't believe that Brazil are 2-1. Hmm. I mean, I haven't been impressed at all with Brazil. Honestly, they played well in the first game. Neymar's questionable. Richarlison, the jury's out on Richarlison. I think they're workmanlike. I think they're very dogged. I think they're very... But you look at their route. They've got, they could potentially play Uruguay, then Spain, and then Argentina before they get to the final. And they're 2-1.
You can get Argentina, who could play Netherlands or USA, then play Brazil, who they've beaten the last three times, or they haven't, they've lost the last three. I think they're the false favourite in this tournament. I've said it from the very beginning, and they got down to under 2-1 at one stage. They're now sort of drifting back out to sort of plus 275. But honestly, they could go and win the World Cup and I could look stupid. But from a betting perspective, the draw they've got, they have no value whatsoever at all, Brazil.
Yeah. It looks like they're growing into the tournament as well. And
so are Spain, so are Argentina, so are England, so are France, so are everybody.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about two more games here because time is running away with us already. France were in the other half of the draw. Nigel's got playing in the France-Poland game. France -360. Poland, I've never seen a team play for yellow cards before in my entire life, but that's what they did against Argentina last night. That was incredible. I mean, Poland really disappointed me. I think they've been awful. France, a short price. They made 9 changes against Tunisia. I mean, you can't completely strike it from the form book, but you almost can. Nigel, your take on France Poland? You've got to play in this.
Well, I can take it from the form book. I mean, they weren't off a yard in that game. In American translation, they weren't really trying. There's a connection between the French and the Tunisians. I feel that they've done them a favour actually by putting a side out and not really putting a shift in. What a beautiful position to be in, to rest 9 players and bring them all on for a knockout stage of a World Cup. And when you talk about the nine players they're bringing in are absolute worldies. So I think Poland were dreadful, absolutely dreadful. They could have lost 5-0, couldn't they, against Argentina? If it wasn't for Chesney, they would have lost 5-0. And he saved the 2 penalties in this tournament. He saved them out of trouble as well in the Saudi game, when Saudi were well on top in that match as well. Saudi had 77% possession, I think, or 74% possession against Poland as well. So I think they're the luckiest team in this tournament. I mean, Australia are probably the weakest side, but they deserved it with their heroics defensively. Poland, I think, didn't deserve it. I think, you know, they've been shocking. It wasn't for Chesney, they'd be on their way back to Warsaw. So for me, I'm going to go for France here. I think France are the world champions. They will show their class against the Polish side, who again, very, very poor. They rely so much on one man, Lewandowski. He's only scored 1 goal in World Cup history in his life. And, you know, that was against Saudi Arabia. I can't see anything other than a very, very easy win for France. And France resting 9 players, bringing them all back. I think they'll run Poland ragged. And I'll go for France -1.5 at -110.
That's the selection for France versus Poland. Let's get on to England versus Senegal, because Jack's got a tip in this. We'll just have a general chat about the game first and foremost. England -190, Senegal +650, draw +300. Jack, England top goal scorers, I think, in the competition at the moment. Obviously, it's
at the moment,
inflated with that goal fest against Iran. I mean, Nigel referenced them in terms of the futures market. Should we start to take them seriously at +950, or is everything and a bit more factored into that price as per usual?
Yeah, tournament monsters, aren't they? That's what they are. It's Gareth Southgate's doing what he's doing, and hat off to him, whether you're in the love him or hate him category. He's getting results at a tournament again. People question the ability to attack and use what he had. And same record as in the Euros, and we don't often have that kind of short space to compare, do we? But like 18 months ago, 1-2, drawn 1, 7 points on the board, exactly the same record this time round. But rather than 2 goals scored and none conceded, it's 9-4 and 2 against, and then 2 against when the game was already dead and over. So, as always, getting England on side's tough. We talked about the weight of money from patriotic support, then England fans are obviously going to be wading in on England, which always makes it hard, as I say, in one-off games and probably a little bit short as far as the tournament's concerned. And I don't tend to get involved in that myself. But as we said, they are getting the job done, and they should do against Senegal as well, to be fair, as far as the result is concerned. But obviously not one I can touch. I've gone down a different route to try and find something with what I consider to be a lot of value, actually.
All right, we'll get to that in a second. Let's just get Nigel's thoughts on this. I thought that Senegal showed a bit of resilience against Ecuador. You concede and you think that could be them, because at that stage, 1 apiece, Ecuador are going through, but they come straight back and score again. England have never been beaten by an African country. 20 matches, Nigel. The last time in a knockout stage is against Cameroon and Italia, 90. What do you make of this game? I mean, -190 for short price players for England might appeal to some. How do you see it?
Well, I'll be at the game, looking forward to the match. But the one thing I would say is I could never bet an England side until I see the team that Gareth Southgate puts out. I think that's so important in terms of goal markets, match markets, everything. If he goes back to the side that we started with in this tournament, a flat back four, and he plays Raheem Sterling and he plays Mason Mount, when it's an under 2.5 game, they'll nullify. They'll pay too much respect to Senegal when it's an under 2.5 game, and England probably win 1-0 or make it difficult and win on it in extra time. If he goes with Foden and he goes with Rashford up front, then it's an attacking side. It's full of pace, full of energy, and England will probably score 3 past his side. It's all the whole of England, the whole of the England betting and the whole of England's chances will hinge on the attitude and the fear factor from the manager. If he goes with the attacking line, if he goes toe-to-toe with Senegal, we'll be in for a 4-3 game and England will win it. Because they'll score one and we'll score one. If he goes to nullify it, it will be the most boring game and we'll win 1-0 with a late header from Harry Maguire or a penalty or something like that. That's how the game we're going to go. And it's so blatantly obvious. I really hope he plays Foden, which I think he will. I think he's got to play Rashford now. And if he does play that, England will win it. And I think it'll be a both teams to score game. I'm expecting, and I'll be betting overs. But I could not bet the England side, England team. It makes so much difference. You know, it's you know, you don't know what system England are going to play. They're the only team in this competition, I think, it can be in a 0-0 draw against, you know, America or a terrible team in the tournament. I'm not saying America are a really poor seed, or they could beat a side 7-0. I don't think there's any side like that because you don't know what he's going to play. So for me, wait to see the side. Really just, but I think if we go attack minded, I think we'll have a real good game. And I would bet both teams to score. And I would probably think he would do. I think he's got to against Senegal. I don't think he can pay them too much respect.
Team Nice is going to be key then as far as Nigel is concerned. The teams have been coming out around about an hour and a quarter before kickoff. So if you're across that, you'll see the team. One player that we're pretty much certain is going to start is Jude Bellingham. It's going to be interesting to see where he plays because Jack's got to play on this one. It's a good one because potentially if Jordan Henderson, Jack, and Declan Rice both play, Bellingham's going to play almost as the 10, isn't he here?
Yeah.
And this is potentially where your bet is going to be. I mean, I think it's value anyway, but it could be very good value if he plays further forward. Explain your play for the England Senegal fixture.
Yeah, the good thing about Bellingham is he's done what we need him to do here in a variety of positions. He kind of started off midfield.
Oh, we're losing
dead center, or as I say, box midfielder. We don't tend to have them anymore. You tend to be either a defensive midfielder or that 10. He can be making tack the edge of his box and good. And it
I think we're going to lose him there, Dan. I think we've just lost Jack momentarily. Right in the middle of, just explain his bet and then we'll put it up on the screen. So we'll,
Nigel,
or he's the world champion of frozen statues.
Listen, the bet, I don't know, is Jack back with us? Can he hear us? I'm not quite sure. The bet is basically Jude Bellingham to have one shot on target or more. So it's basically, it's over 100, 0.5. So you need one shot on target. I mean, Bellingham, if he plays further forward, Nigel, he's going to get in those positions, isn't he?
I think what Jack was saying there, it's happened in every single game he's played in so far. And obviously he's not playing an opposition where it's going to be defensive. I can see Senegal really opening up in the second half, so it'll be quite an end-to-end game. So it's not like you're going to be playing a tactical match against the Germans or something like that. So that makes it interesting. But I disagree. I don't think Jordan Henderson will play in this game.
So I don't think he will either, but that's how they set up, wasn't it?
I think he might play more as a holding midfielder alongside Declan Rice. But obviously, if it's cashed already, which Jack was alluding to, then that's got to be a plus for that. But I just think this game is so. I mean, I every part of me wants England to win it because I want to be there for the quarterfinal, get it hopefully against France, which would be a magical occasion. But I just feel that the English side make it so difficult on themselves with team selection. Just really have a go, you know. Just play your game, and you'll beat this a lot easier. You'll put 3 past them. But if we go negative, we could be in for a really long, nervy
evening. So, and it's late enough.
Yeah, well, you know what Gareth Southgate's
These games are late enough. When, trust me, when you get out of there at like 2 o'clock in the morning, they're late. They're late enough as there is. All right, sure.
Let's recap the selections then. Jack, unfortunately, internet wise, he's gone off, but we got through Jack's selections and we can recap Nigel and Jack's picks on screen for you now. I will rattle through them as well if you're downloading the podcast. So this is what the boys tip up for the first set of knockout stages, first set of knockout fixtures. Nigel is going to go in. Go on, Nigel.
I'm going to joke about, I'm useless at doing these things. It's the first time I can't see. Are they actually up? Have we actually got them up, Dan?
No, they're not. Then they're not up. No, but when we got them,
there you go.
Yes, we'll get you a job. Listen, when all this crashes and burns, we'll get you a job in IT.
This will never crash and burn, so don't come that way. I can't believe I've actually managed to put that up. I'm delighted with myself.
Yes, well done, son. And Nigel likes this. Argentina
this is from the man who can't even set up a Zoom call for us.
Don't pull the curtain behind the working so everyone can see what's going on.
All they've got to do is look at our combined age. You know, we've got no idea what we're doing. Don't worry about it, mate.
You're looking good. The sun suits you. I need a shave. I look like Father Christmas a bit early. Anyway, Nigel likes Argentina versus Australia. Argentina's -175 on the Asian. Like this one. Basically, 3-goal win, you're in. 2-goal win, you're okay. -132. France, Poland, France -1.5. Again, we're looking at the handicap there. -110 is the price. And for Jack, who unfortunately disappeared from us, but Netherlands, USA, over 3.5 corners, made a good case for this, both tactically and statistically. -125 if you're following that in. And there are so many prop bets on all these games, 700 markets or so on every single game. And England versus Senegal, Jude Bellingham, one shot or more on target, +170. Those are the last 16 matches, 1-4. We thank Jack for his company, even though he can't thank us back. Nigel, so when you're back out there, and what can we expect? You're going to try and get to one or two games and stuff, and you're out there for the duration, I think, aren't you now?
Yeah, I'm out there. I'm heading to Dubai after the quarterfinals. So,
I'm going to
it's very hard actually. To be fair, so I'm going to the England game. Definite. I'm going to the England quarterfinal, and hopefully we get there. And then I might try to catch another game if we can. Obviously the old tickets are in high demand, and we'll have to see what happens. But and lots of videos on the YouTube channel, and obviously also we're going to all the previews, and also we're going to do stuff on the Twitter on Because We Win handle with sort of videos to people and giving tips and views from the ground and sort of my analysis on each case. So they've been very well received from everybody and well watched. So thank you very much for that, and we'll be continuing to do the same.
Nice one. Many thanks to Nigel and to Jack. Yeah, as Nigel mentioned there, stay across all of our content at Because We Win. Good luck with the knockout stages. We're back over the course of the remainder of the tournament. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Extra Time on the Bet Rivers Network.